Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. So, just so the booth knows and so you know, I had a whole message planned out for today, but the Holy Spirit began working on me yesterday when I started reviewing everything again for today and showed me something in the lessons that I didn't see before. And so the Holy Spirit said, you're not preaching the message you had planned. I just love when he does that. So I'm going to preach a different message and see how this goes, okay? So you can just scrap whatever you've got back there, sit back, relax, take a nap if you want to in the booth, and let me handle it from up here. So it's very interesting what I saw for the first time in the Old Testament lesson and the gospel lesson for today, something that I've never really noticed before. Now, the message I had originally had planned for you talked about prayer and how wonderful prayer is and what prayer is and what prayer is not and all of those things. And, you know, we've talked about that before, and it's good for us to review those things, and we're talking about that in our Bible class series this summer, and all those things are good and well. But there's something that the Holy Spirit showed me, and it was like, oh my goodness, I've never realized this before. It was like kind of like one of those moments where you have a ton of bricks fall on your head, and that's why I got this dent right here, because I mean, it really hurt. And I was like, wow, I've never realized this before. Now, you know that very often every Sunday, and pretty much every time I see you, I preach about the importance of being the presence of Jesus in our world, right? About loving people and getting to know people and getting to know our neighbors and how important that is, because it's in loving people and getting to know our neighbors that we grow the kingdom of God, right? It's not about going out and standing on the street corners with signs that say you're going to hell if you don't believe in Jesus, or what I hate is when you go into a men's bathroom and they actually leave those little tracks on the urinals. I mean, come on, like I'm going to touch that? I mean, really, gosh. But anyways, you know, that's not it either. I don't know if it happens in the women's bathroom, but it does in the men's bathroom and out in public. You know, that's not about it either, because that doesn't run anybody over to church. What wins people over to church, what wins people over to the kingdom, is letting them get to know you and getting to see Jesus in you. I talk to you about that all the time, and I tell it to you all the time. But then it dawned on me that there's one critical piece that I've never really addressed with you. And our lessons for today clearly show this. So here it goes. Are you ready? Evangelism begins with prayer. Duh, Pastor. What was I thinking? If you look at the Old Testament lesson today, what was going on in the dialogue? The prayer was what? It was a negotiation. It was evangelism. God, if there are 30 people that believe in you, will you please spare that city? Let me go in and save them. If there are 20, if there are 10, and ultimately, there's only a few found, and Lot was able to go in, right? And he was able to rescue the people and save the people that were there. Lot and his family were rescued and saved by his family, and they were brought out, and the Lord did indeed save those who were righteous. And look at the lesson for today. It talks about the fact that there's somebody in need, right? And somebody in need comes to the man's house, and he knocks on the door, and he says to the man, listen, I need this. I need food. I have people who have showed up, and I have nothing to give them, and they're hungry. And it says, well, you're not going to get up just because they knocked on the door. Because of his persistence and his persistence in asking, you will get up and help him. And then Jesus goes on to say, you know, you as earthly fathers or earthly parents, if your son asks for a fish, you're not going to give them a snake. And if they ask for an egg, you're not going to give them a scorpion. And you're evil, Jesus says. No offense. Those are Jesus' words. You're evil. He said, and you know better than that. And it got me to thinking about this. Evangelism begins with prayer. Evangelism for our neighbor, for our coworker, for our fellow students, for whomever we come in contact with on a daily basis, for the cashier at Walmart that we get to know, for the neighbor next door to us. It begins as we, in our lives, take time to pray for them, to ask God to open their hearts to the message of his gospel, to ask God to use us as witnesses for them, to ask God to allow us to be the hands and the mouth and the feet of his presence to them, to ask God to let us be the gospel to them, to preach the gospel to them, and only to use words when necessary. In other words, be the living presence of Jesus to them in action and in deed, in inviting them into our homes and helping them with their needs. Do you see that? Evangelism begins with prayer. And that's what God is, another subtext of what God is telling us in these lessons for today. I don't know how I missed that. I've been studying theology for 27 years, and it's like, hello, I'm just now seeing that. But isn't that the great thing about God's word? You can study it over and over, and every time you study, he's going to show you something new. And how beautiful it is to see that we can back up another step, because it sounds scary when I tell you, go make friends with people. It sounds scary when I say, go get to know the neighbor you don't know, or the coworker you don't know, or the student you don't know, and be friends with them, and be Jesus to them. That can be scary. It can be. But now we have a whole step before that. This gift of prayer that God has given us to prepare ourselves and to prepare the person we are going to minister to by the power of his Holy Spirit, which he sends us through the gospel to work in our lives and in their lives to prepare the way for us. And you know what God says? When he sends the Holy Spirit, his word never returns what? Void or empty. His word always works. God, we know we can hold him to his promises. He promised to send a Savior into the world, and what did Jesus do for us? He died on the cross to forgive us our sins. He rose from the dead so that we will live for eternity. Then he says that he's going to raise us up bodily one day at the last day and take us into heaven bodily to be with him forever. God is faithful in his promises. He holds true to his promises. And he says today, if you pray in faith according to my will, pause. What is God's will? That all people, what? Come to the knowledge of Christ Jesus and be saved. Unpause. If we pray according to God's will, according to his purpose in our lives, guess what happens? His promises start shining through in us. His promises start coming through in us. He makes us a bold promise to the world around us so that people who don't know Jesus, those who are going to hell, and I hope that bothers you. I hope it bothers you so much that you're squirming in your pews right now. I hope it bothers you to know that you have neighbors going to hell, because it ought to bother you. It bothers me. We don't want anyone to go to hell. After all, that's not God's will. And if it's not God's will, it's not our will either. But the whole thing starts out with this beautiful gift that God has given us in prayer. One of the things that I do, and this may sound weird, but I'm weird anyway, so it's okay, is that I have begun the practice years ago of praying over the city. When I'm driving, a lot of times alone, I'll pray for the city or the neighborhood I'm driving through. A lot of times I'll go to a high point in the city and I'll pray over the city for those who don't know Jesus and for those who are Christian. Why? Because God says to. And I believe he works in that. And one of the things I encourage you to do, to adopt as a practice in your life, starting today, is when you go home and you drive into your neighborhood, start praying for every house you pass. Start praying that they know Jesus. Start praying that they have what you have, and that's the message of the gospel. Start praying that the Lord will overshadow their house with great and abundant love. That God will open your eyes to see maybe what needs they have and how you can meet those needs in their lives. Start praying how you can be the gospel to the person you work with, to the person you go to school with. Start praying about it. That's easy. We can all do that, right? So I'm going to back us up a minute. Because I know it's scary. I know it is so scary to say, now go out and jump into somebody's life and dive in and start getting to know them. That's scary. So we're going to back up and do what Jesus says. We have a friend in him. Start praying. Pray for every house in your neighborhood. When you see your neighbor outside mowing, say a prayer for him. When you see your friend at Costco, pray for them. If you see somebody, an ambulance or an accident on the side of the road, pray for them. You catch my drift? And this is what happens. We know that God hears our prayer. Do you believe that? And we can believe that because he tells us he hears our prayer, right? One of the great things about Jesus ascending into heaven is he sits at the right hand of God, and God's ear is constantly open to our prayer. Jesus is interceding for us and speaking our prayers 24 hours a day, 7 days a week into his ear. He doesn't even take Christmas off. He doesn't. Now our prayer is not powerful. The prayer power is in the one who hears our prayer, and that's Jesus, right? But he answers it. He does. And as we begin to pray for our city and our community and our coworkers, they begin to change. I will kid you not, I have seen it happen. I will put money on it today. If you pray for somebody over the next month and you don't see some change in your life, I owe you a lunch. But you'll see it. And the change you'll see often happens this way. You change towards them. You become more peace-loving, more compassionate, more of the hands and the mouth and the feet of Jesus to them. You start seeing them in different ways and understanding that they too may have trials and tribulations and all they need is a friend. Boy, I wish Mr. Rogers was still alive. He could teach us a lot. All they need is a friend, a neighbor just like you. To live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Okay, that's enough. Okay, you get the point, right? Prayer. Prayer and evangelism. Who would have thunk it? It goes hand in hand. And so today you have been given the glorious power of beginning to be the presence of Jesus in your world as you leave and start praying for the world around you. God hears it. Because he loves you, because he forgives you, and because you're perfect in his eyes. And he will answer it because he is faithful. So my challenge for you today is this. Pray. Pray without ceasing. Our world needs it. Turn on the news. Our world is falling apart, and there's nothing but garbage going on in our world. But here's the great and wonderful news. It has already been overcome in Jesus and will be overcome as we pray and become the presence of Jesus to the world around us. You, my brothers and sisters, as the Church of Jesus Christ, have the power and ability already in you through the power of the Holy Spirit to change the world for the better. You have the power to change the world for the better. Washington, D.C. cannot do it. Your government will not do it. Your elected officials will not do it. Your pastor and your church workers cannot do it on their own. But you, individually, have the power of Jesus Christ to change this world in ways we could never think of or imagine, so that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord and Savior. In his name, amen.